The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Revelry on Richmond. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real. At Jon Snow with a zero in the snow park. At Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And we are live out here at Revelry on Richmond. And all the famous people are showing up now. So yeah, you need to get on out here. And I also have to say, tequila makes the promo girls' clothes fall off. So
that's always good.
Yeah, if you're into that kind of thing, which I'm not, but if you are, there you go. But yeah, watching the tournament here, having a lot of fun, and it looks like Ohio State's going to pull away here and win this one 77-71 now with 52 seconds left. Yeah. All right. We tease talking Texans here. Jonathan Joseph resigns. I haven't seen the details of the deal. I'm sure it's a lot less than he was getting paid.
I would have to assume.
I'm okay with that. In fact, I think I said that a couple weeks ago. You bring Jonathan Joseph back at an affordable deal, I have no problem with that. He's not the player he was, but he's not a donkey either. I like that signing. We talked about they needed to add two guys in the secondary. Okay, so this is a guy you've already got. Cheaper price, fine.
The problem is he ain't getting better.
No, but I mean, there's not many.
And he's no longer a number one corner.
No, but would you rather have him for, what, X dollars, which we haven't figured out yet, or 13 a year for Malcolm Butler? I don't think there's much of a difference between those two, to be honest. Butler's younger.
Well, yeah, Butler has an up arrow by his name.
I think Butler has a sideways arrow by his name, just like, and Jonathan Joseph has kind of a down arrow, but I'll take that.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel. I'm okay with it, I guess. He knows the system.
He was actually, and if you go back and watch last year, he wasn't horrible. He didn't have any help. He got beat, yes, because he was on the number one receiver all the time, and quarterbacks had 5 or 6 seconds. I don't think he was bad. I don't think he's going to improve, but he's not a bad cornerback to have. And if you have to put him on a number one receiver, I think he can do it as long as you actually get some pressure on the quarterback, which they did not do last year. So I like the signing. I like what they've done in the secondary. I'll like it a hell of a lot more if they can get Tyrann Mathieu.
Oh, yeah.
They do that changes the whole defense.
It does, but I don't know that they're going to.
They're trying. According to John McClain, GM Brian McCrane stressed the Texans aren't through signing free agents. They're pursuing Tyrann Mathieu, among others.
Okay. I'll believe it when I see it.
But, no, I do think they're trying to get him. What are you going to pay for a guy like that? And they still have plenty of cap room, by the way. That's one thing I like with what they've done. They've been very smart about their signings. They still need a left tackle. We know that.
You can't find one now, though.
You can find somebody who might be your left tackle. And we talked about that a little bit yesterday. Some guys whose names are out there that might be your left tackle. But I'll tell you what. Other than that, they've done a good job of filling the holes they had. And you're not going to get a left tackle in the draft with a third round pick.
No. It's impossible.
So if you're going to do that, you're going to have to trade up. But if you add Tyrann Mathieu to that defense, for the first time in the history of the team, they'll have an elite safety. I'm willing to pay that guy $8, $9, $10 million a year.
Yeah. Although, boy, the injuries are starting to add up
the
with that
injuries
dude.
Worry me, but you're talking about a guy who is a playmaker. who can go after the quarterback in blitz packages, who can make interceptions, who is a difference maker on defense. On a defense where, you know what, you're still going to have a terrific front seven. You put that guy back there as a ball hawk, and, yeah, the injuries concern, but my goodness.
I can't believe you said that he'd be the first time they've had an impact safety. I mean, come on. Ed Reed, Danielle Manning.
Excuse me. Come on, man. I love Danielle. I thought he was a great signing. He ain't in this kid's class.
No.
This guy is an elite safety when healthy. And yes, that's always a concern because he's kind of a small guy and he hits hard and you always worry about that. Who was it for the Colts that was so good but had the same? Bob Sanders.
Yeah.
Very same thing. I think if you can get this guy and put him back there, you keep him healthy, you keep that defense relatively healthy. And I will say this, that could be the number one defense in the NFL if all those guys stay relatively healthy.
Oh, okay. That's a lot to go from, like, the last defense in the NFL.
But let's look at why they weren't the last defense. They were bad. But let's look at
why. They were 32nd.
Not in every category.
Not in every category, but in points allowed.
But also keep in mind the offense gave up a lot of points, too. That had a lot to do with it. No, they were bad last year, there's no question. But let's look at why. For one thing, they had a coordinator who had no clue what he was doing. You had no J.J. Watt. You had no Whitney Mercilus. You had injuries across the board. You got no pressure on the quarterback.
Well, you also have to understand the odds that everyone on a defense is going to stay healthy.
I'm not asking everybody to stay healthy.
Well, you said if all these guys stay healthy, they could be the number one defense. But, that's just not going to happen.
Well, I mean, if the key guys stay healthy, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
No question.
Well, when you're talking about the key guys.
You can't tell me if you sign Tyrann Mathieu, you don't have as much talent on defense as Jacksonville does.
I don't know. Because
then we don't have anything to talk about.
Okay, you're talking about like J.J. Watt and Tyrann Mathieu, people who get hurt every single year and then acting like I'm just supposed to pretend.
J.J. Watt's been hurt the last 2 years, and yes, it's a fair concern. Tyrann Matthew's been hurt the last couple of years. It's a fair concern. But to just assume that means, sign him, he'll get hurt? That's what you're doing.
No, that's not what
you're
saying at
all. You're saying J.J. Watt's automatically getting hurt.
I said sign him, but I'm just saying I'm not like suddenly thinking about being the best defense in the NFL.
If you have those guys healthy, yes, you are.
It's hard to be the best defense in the NFL when you've got Jonathan Joseph as your number one corner, period.
I don't know that he'll be your number one corner.
Who's it gonna tell me Kevin Johnson, I dare you.
No, I think you're going to have four guys who are – and look, Kevin Johnson can't be as bad as he was last year. If he's the Kevin Johnson from 2 years ago – then I think he's...
You mean the one even, like, decent year that he's had?
It's the only year he was healthy until he got hurt. Yeah. But you can't... You know, also, let's look at it this way. You can't just keep getting guys hurt every single year. I mean, these guys can't be unhealthy every single year. That's just physically impossible. At some point, you got to get through a season.
Okay.
And
say I won't.
No, but I mean, the thing is, you think Jalen Ramsey's going to stay healthy every single season the way he plays?
No.
And listen, I love that guy. I think he's the best corner in the NFL. I've been saying it for 2 years.
But you know how it is in the NFL. Once you get hurt once, it's a lot easier to get hurt a second time and a third time and a fourth time.
I think so much of that depends on, like,
Which is my concern with Deshaun Watson.
Well, I think that's being overly concerned, but that's all right. Because here's the thing. Tom Brady, how many times has he been hurt in his career?
Two.
Once. He had his knee blown out by Bernard Pollard. That's it.
Serious now, injury, yes,
right.
Once.
He's had other little injuries since then, but that guy's made it through his entire career with 1 year that he missed because it happened early in the season and he came back healthy.
Yeah.
What I get concerned about is guys that rush back, and I think that is a problem with J.J. Watt. I think J.J. Watt wants to get on the field even though he's not 100%. And you know this because you've gotten in the ring when you weren't 100%.
Yeah.
Guess what's going to happen? You're probably going to get hurt again.
Yeah.
And those things concern me, and I think there's a little bit of that with Tyrann Mathieu. And that's where, at some point, you have to say, you know what, we don't want you out here. And this is one thing that I blame the Texans for, J.J.'s second back injury 2 years ago. They shouldn't have rushed him. At some point, they should have said, listen, man, you're not ready. I know you want to be on the field, but we're going to pup you. You can't come for six games. You need to make sure that thing's right.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of things that's a little bit on the team, too. But having said all that, you want to talk about just pure talent. If you sign this guy and you tell me I'm playing Madden and these guys aren't going to get hurt, knowing that some players are going to get hurt on every defense,
right,
on every team, I'll take that defense with anybody's.
Yeah, they're up there.
I will. And that's my point. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying they will be the number one defense. That would be hot take. I'm just saying if those guys, you sign this guy and have something you've never had to go with a really good front seven and functional cornerbacks, you don't have to have
a semi-functional corner.
No, I think they're fine. I think
besides Jonathan Joseph last year, who even had a functional year?
I think
Kareem and Kevin Johnson, you can't say they had functional years last year. They were bad last year.
Yeah, they were bad last year, but I also think you're oversimplifying it a little bit, and I would encourage you to go back and watch Kareem Jackson a little bit. A lot of that was there were several times where he's being asked to cover a guy for 5 seconds. He can't do that. He never has been able to do that. He doesn't have that kind of speed. He doesn't have that kind of he's a guy who can keep a guy locked down for 2 seconds. Get some pressure on the quarterback. Guess what? Kareem Jackson's better.
Yeah.
Now, Kevin Johnson, I'd like to make the same case for him. I can't. Because he was getting – you know who Kevin Johnson was last year? Bryce McCain. Remember Bryce McCain when he was here? That was Kevin Johnson last year.
That's not a nice comparison.
No, and I don't mean it to be. I do think he can be better. Do I think he's ever going to be a number one corner? No. But do I think he can be somewhere in between what he was last year and the guy we saw when he was healthy? Absolutely, and that's a functional cornerback. All you need is functional cornerbacks if you have an elite front seven and an elite safety.
Yeah.
And I think if they sign this guy, that's what they have. Now, again, if everybody gets hurt, if Merciless goes down, Clowney goes down, Watt goes down, Matthew goes down, yeah, they're back to being a crap defense. But I'll tell you what, I trust a crap defense with Romeo Crennel a hell of a lot more than I did Mike Vrabel.
That's fair.
For what that's worth.
So you're saying they're better just because Mike Vrabel won't be there?
I think they – yes. I for the record, hot take right now, this defense is automatically better just with the coaching change.
Fair enough.
Now, how much better, I don't know, but I think they're better. 713-780-ESPN.
Seton Hall, North Carolina State game tightened up too.
Oh, yeah?
That was a blowout earlier, and now they're Seton Hall with a 3-point lead. -3. That was the actual line, though. But it's the game suddenly tight, and it wasn't earlier.
Yeah, 832 asks, do the Texans have a real shot at Honey Badger? I don't know. All I know is they've said they want to go after him. They're going to pursue him. They also pursued Nate Solder. We saw how that worked.
Yeah.
By the way, every New York tabloid headline, exactly the same today. Solder or fortune.
Do what now?
Every New York tabloid headline today, exact same thing.
Soldier of Fortune.
Soldier of Fortune.
Oh, boy.
Womp, womp.
Oh, boy.
All right, tell the people about the Rockets.
All right, guys, 2018-19 Rockets season tickets are on sale now. And you can reserve your Rockets VIP experience like never before. They've got something they're doing that they've never done before that I think is really awesome. You may want to check into. For the first time ever, you can lock in your ticket price for the next 3 seasons with a 3-year club seat ticket package. 3 special seasons, 1 special price. No need to worry about the price of season tickets going up, which if the Rockets win this year, like a lot of people think they will, those prices will go up. You'll be immune to that. Also, if you buy now, you'll get priority for this year's playoff tickets. The 3-year VIP plan is offered for the club seats only, but all other price levels are already on sale as well. Go to Rockets.com. or give them a call at 713-627-DUNK to get yours today. That's Rockets.com or 713-627-DUNK.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Revelry on Richmond. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Bauer and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Revelry on Richmond. And if you're on Richmond, you need to be here. Very cool place. Just looking at Twitter, apparently Nick's about to have his first BBH, so we'll find out whether or not he's actually a eunuch or not because of that. And 832 asks, who is a good linebacker on the defense? The guys you listed are just basically D linemen. Whitney Merciless is a linebacker. Cunningham is going to get better and better. Bernardrick McKinney is a very good linebacker. The problem is you don't ever want to see Bernardrick McKinney trying to cover somebody.
That's bad news.
And that's on coaching, man. And I guarantee you they'll do it every now and then because you want to show different looks. But Bernardrick McKinney is not a cover linebacker. Those guys are good players, though. And I have to say, listen, I'm no Houston homer. I have a lot of issues with a ton of things they do there. But I do think potentially defensively, if you can add a guy, and maybe I'm higher on Honey Badger than most people, but I think that guy is yet another impact guy on defense at a position where they've never had an impact guy. That, to me, takes them to a different level. Yeah, if they're healthy. But that's where the problem is with the Texans. If Deshaun Watson's not healthy, it really doesn't matter.
That's true.
I don't care how good your defense is. If you can't keep number four healthy, then you're going to be garbage. Especially since we don't even know who the backup quarterback is. And there's not anybody out there left that you can say, okay, we'll sign this backup and we'll be all right.
Yeah.
Those guys are gone. I think the last one was probably Trevor Siemian, Chase Daniel. Be like, okay, yeah, I'd be okay with those guys if Watson got hurt for a few games. Not for a whole season.
Not for a whole season.
No, but that guy doesn't exist unless you draft him. And I don't think you're going to have a third-round pick that's going to get you that guy. But, you know, yeah, you look at that and you go, wow. I mean, yeah, that could be a great defense. You're 2 years removed from being a great defense. And now you've added a guy who I think makes you even better. And whoever's playing safety along, well, they haven't added him yet.
If you add him.
I mean, that's what we're speculating on, right? I want to make that clear. I'm not saying they're that good without him. But I do think that's the equivalent of adding a J.J. Watt-type player on your back end. That's how good I think he is.
Yeah, see, I don't know if I put him at that. I mean, he's shown flashes of that before. You know, a couple years ago when he had, what, five picks or whatever it was, he showed flashes of that. But
yeah, maybe I overvalue the guy, and that's the crux of this argument.
I mean, I think he would help tremendously.
No, but I do think he's a top.
I just don't think he's a franchise changing type player if you do bring him in.
And that's where we disagree.
Okay,
so
because Arizona's got a bunch of good players on their defense, and they haven't been that good.
Well, they haven't been that good when he's been hurt.
Well, he played 16 games last year for the first time like ever.
Yeah,
and they weren't that good.
But he wasn't healthy until about the last five, and that's when he played his best football. So, and again, that gets back to what I was talking about before, going out on the field when you're not 100%. Because he wasn't. I mean, and you go watch the early games, he didn't look like the same guy. By the end of the season, yeah, he started looking like himself again. And maybe that's why I'm willing to give him the money and say, you know what, I think you can be that guy.
Well, if they do... I think that I'd still ideally like to see them draft a corner.
Oh, yeah. To me, they still need to draft.
Because they need fresh blood in that thing.
They need to draft somebody for the secondary, whether it's corner safety. All right, let's assume they do somehow come up with the money. They've got the money, but let's say they sign
They can convince him to sign. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just, okay, we've got cap room. It's
do you want to play here?
Right, the same thing we talked about with Nate Solder. It's like he has other options.
Well, yeah. If I'm Nate Solder, I look at the rest of the Texans' offensive line and I say, I'm going to pass. Which you may get that same argument from Tyrann Mathieu on the Texans' secondary.
But what I think happened there was basically the Giants said, listen, we'll pay you, we'll make you the highest paid tackle in the league. Texans looked at that and said, well, we'll pay you this.
Yeah.
We'll get close. And I don't know how I feel about that. I kind of feel like I don't know that I think he's worth that. Is he worth that to the Giants and the Texans? Maybe. But if I'm the Texans, I don't know if I do that. And that's where you have to make those calls. And, yeah, you do have cap room, and you've made some really good signings. You still don't have a left tackle.
Right.
Which is kind of a key thing.
And let's face it, we've talked about this before today, and we've talked about it today. When your best pick in the draft is a third round pick, the one thing that's not available to you that you need is a left tackle, because the Texans had all these needs: corner, safety, guard, right tackle, tight end. These are all they're all needs that can be filled, backup quarterback, with a third round or lower pick. You can't get a good left tackle with a third round pick.
No, and that's where what I well, and you know, I don't want to get too far ahead of the draft because we're still dealing with free agency. Maybe a decent left tackle slips to mid second round and you trade up.
Yeah.
And if you look at kind of where they're ranking these tackles,
but God, who's letting decent second round, or who's letting decent left tackle slip to the second round? If a tackle slips to the second round, he's probably a right tackle.
It's funny though, but when you look at kind of how some of these draft projections are going, guys like the kid from Oklahoma is slipping like crazy. So what if he slips to third pick of the second round? You can probably make that deal without gutting yourself. And then you know, he starts, and maybe he's good, maybe he's not, because he's a rookie. Yeah. You don't know. But
the problem is, the guys who tend to fall are guys who have character issues, and the Texans historically haven't been willing to overlook character issues to get value on a player.
And listen, don't get me wrong. I don't think you're going to get a starting left tackle in the draft, not without making some bold move, even more bold than what you did last year. And so you're going to have to kind of cobble that together. But I will say this. Of everything else they've done, I like the fact that they addressed some problems with the secondary. Did they sign Malcolm Butler? No. But I was kind of okay with that. If you bring in Matthew, I'm really okay with what you've done in the secondary. I feel very good about that secondary. I don't think it's best in the league secondary, but it's pretty damn good. And you can live with Kevin Johnson and those guys at corner if you've got a guy like that back there. He makes up for a lot of errors by bad cornerbacks.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. And I think they've done as well as they could do on the offensive line without signing Nate Solder. So you're already better at those positions. You're not perfect there. But they've gone from being zero at offensive line to at least a four.
Yeah.
And that's huge. I mean, that's a big jump, man. They were the 32nd best offensive line. So all I'm saying is I like what they've done so far. If they can add a couple more guys, I'll feel better. There's not a left tackle left that I'm going to say, oh, wow, this solved their offensive line problems. So I want to make that clear. But I do think defensively, you know, to me, if it were my money, which it's not, I go and offer Honey Badger way too much money, and I offer Ndamukong Suh way too much money.
Yeah.
I say, I'm going to make this defense as good as I can.
Well, that's been their strategy in the past.
And figure, okay, I know I'm not going to get a left tackle, so we're going to have to go short on that. But I'm going to make this defense as freaking talented as I possibly can. And if you added both of those guys, you'd be like, okay, yeah, it's a pretty damn good unit going in on paper. But everything's on paper right now.
Yeah.
The only thing that's not on paper is when you go online, and that's what you should do to bet the madness of March.
There you go.
And it's time to get in on the action by betting at mybookie.ag. You want to get in on all these games. You want to get in on AJ's picks, which he hasn't missed one. Don't turn my mic down. Well done, Shay. Dude, turn that back up. I can't even hear myself now. I'm middle of a live read for somebody who's paying us a bunch of money, and this knucklehead turns me down. Well done. Well done. All right, let's start over. Guys, if you're – see, this is for – you know, if you're going to go ahead and record this. Hey, guys, you want to get in on the action? You want to play the madness of March? MyBookie.ag has you covered. You want to put down some money? You want to be like AJ and not miss a play yet on the tournament? Well, MyBookie has you covered. Thousands of people, including me, are betting online with MyBookie.ag. And if you've tried online betting in the past and you couldn't get your money, well, MyBookie has you covered on that as well. I've never had a problem with them when I've taken money out, and I've taken a lot of money out of there. So make your way to MyBookie.ag. If you win, they pay fast and without hassles. And, guys, not just basketball. I mean, yeah, you can play the tournament. You want to play that hockey play I gave out earlier? You can do that. They've got everything, whatever you want to bet on. And you're wasting your time betting anywhere else. They even have in-game live betting, so you can place a bet after tip-off. Join now, and MyBookie will match your first deposit with a 50% bonus. Just use promo code RADIO. You can even enter for a chance to win their $1 million bracket challenge. Just use promo code RADIO to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie.ag. Play, win, get paid. That's MyBookie.
restaurant to go to?
Do you know where I could find an organic Vietnamese taco truck around here?
Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news from Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Revelry on Richmond. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Revelry on Richmond, where everybody is getting into the tournament spirit, and apparently the alcohol spirit.
Oh, Juggalo Trey's in the spirit over there.
Yeah, Juggalo Trey and our promo people.
Oh, boy, he's
partying
in the spirit.
Yeah. All right. Joining us now, he's a lead college football analyst for pregame.com, but if you listen to the show, you know he knows the stuff on college basketball. Brad Powers joins us. Follow him on Twitter at BradPowers7. And Brad, okay, why do you keep turning my mic down?
No, I want my headphones to be louder.
And he keeps turning my mic down. He did it during a live read. Shay, you are so getting an F-minus today. Jeez. All right, let's go to Brad Powers. Brad, how are you, man? We're dealing with a road show and A rookie engineer who, frankly, looks like it's his first tournament game.
Yeah, I'm doing well. Hopefully you guys survive it, and hopefully you get a chance to enjoy some of the great tournament action so far.
Well, we're enjoying it, and we're pumping away. And so far, AJ's 4-0 on his plays. I have one tonight that I want to ask you about because I have played my biggest parlay of the year with my hockey play that I love tonight. And the second half of it is SFA plus 12. Tell me what my chances are with Stephen F. Austin plus 12 tonight against Tech.
You know what? I'm kind of indifferent on that game. On one end, I see it. Stephen F. Austin playing relatively. Everyone said, oh, Texas Tech's playing close to home. No. I think Stephen F. Austin's campus is probably, 200, 250 miles closer than Texas Tech. So I expect a lot of Lumberjacks fans in the crowd. I mean, Stephen F. Austin's been quite profitable. Tournament experience, obviously a lot of that under Brad Underwood, but it's not like the moment's going to be too big for him. I mean, on one hand, though, I do think Texas Tech's a little undervalued in the marketplace. They haven't covered a point spread, though, since February the 13th. They're 0-6-1 against the spread the last seven. A lot of it having to do with that four-game stretch where Keenan Evans was less than 100%. If I fully know I get 100% effort out of Keenan Evans and everyone, I think Texas Tech's the play. But so far, unders have been cashing. That, I think, bodes well for having a double-digit underdog. And obviously, Stephen F. Austin can take note from a lot of these other teams so far, like Loyola Chicago. So I think you're in decent shape. I was pretty indifferent on the game.
One of the games that I'm on tonight that I liked a lot is Davidson, and I had him at plus 6. The number keeps going down. It's at 4.5 now. But one of the things I really like is Kentucky in the first round against the spread has been pretty horrendous the last several years, 10, 12 years even. What do you think of Davidson's chances tonight? I'm looking at them to be a team that's just going to shoot the ball well, and if they shoot the ball like Florida shot against Kentucky, Kentucky can't defend that three line. What do you think of that matchup?
Well, you're on the sharp side, especially getting plus 6. So you got a great number. You're on the sharp side. That's where the sharp money is. That's where the big money is. I'm in the square chair. I actually like Kentucky. I know you said Kentucky hasn't covered a lot of point spreads in the first round of the NCAA tournament. How often are they only laying 4.5 points? Not very often in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Kentucky, look, and the market's been against Kentucky even during the stretch where Kentucky's went 7-1 straight up and against the spread, average covering those 7 by 12 points per game. I think Davidson first half makes a little bit more sense because I'm a little bit worried. You got a Davidson team that has three players average more than 35 minutes a game. It's a short week for both of these teams traveling across the country in altitude. Kentucky's the deeper team. I definitely like your chances as far as the first half goes. I think Davidson looks good, but at 4.5, I think the number's kind of cheap right now. I would definitely lean with Kentucky at 4.5 now.
All right, let's talk about the local boys here. The number's up to minus 4.5 on the Cougs. I'm looking at San Diego State pretty heavily here. I like the way they've been playing the last few weeks. They look like they're finally rounding into what they were supposed to be preseason. They played in a pretty bad conference, but they're peaking at the right time. What do you think about San Diego State and UH tonight?
Yeah, the bigger money's on Houston, but I'm with you. I'm on the other side. I like San Diego State, especially at 4.5, two defensive teams. Like the under more than anything in the game. Got it at an early 142.5 down to 140. I prefer the under, but also the underdog. You're right. San Diego State's playing about as well as anyone in the country. Last nine games, 9-0 straight up, 8-1 against the number, including a pair of wins against a pretty good Nevada team in there, including up 30 at halftime in the Mountain West Conference semifinals. They're playing their best basketball season. I also worry about Houston. Just got them playing to-the-wire game on Sunday. Not a big travel spot here, but could have some tired legs. Prefer the under, but definitely lean with San Diego State plus the 4.5.
I'm liking Alabama tonight, catching 2.5. And really the only reason I do is because I feel like Colin Sexton, the tournament is built for guys like Colin Sexton. Like, this is where guys like him tend to make their hay. Am I crazy for this?
No, I'm indifferent. Initial gut reaction was, yeah, definitely take Alabama there. As I maybe overthought it, and now I'm leaning more towards Virginia Tech. And I guess I got thinking, I'm like, wow, Alabama's here because, you're right, Colin Sexton went, you know, floor to floor in the final seconds against Texas A&M, makes a final shot there. They turn around, beat Auburn the next day, and they're in the NCAA tournament. He doesn't make that shot. They're in the NIT right now. So I worry a little bit about their rest because they look gassed in the Kentucky game on Saturday. Dante Hall's less than 100%. We'll see if he even goes tonight. Virginia Tech's the more rested team. Indifferent. Initial gut instinct said Alabama. I kind of talked myself into leaning with Virginia Tech when it was all said and done.
Florida hasn't been playing their best basketball at the end of the season. I think St. Bonnie's was vastly underrated. I don't think they should have been in that play-in game the other night. I think that should have been where Oklahoma was. But I like St. Bonnie. 6 points just seems like a lot. And I think they're a pretty good team. And I think maybe that conference as a whole, you know, when you see they got four teams in, maybe that conference is just better than people thought it was. What are your thoughts on the plus six?
Again, I hate to say it, but a little indifferent. Keep in mind, I think these NCAA tournament lines are some of the tightest in college basketball all year, and you're kind of seeing a lot of that play out. I think five of the first seven games came within a bucket on the line. I mean, it all depends on what Florida team shows up. The one that's kind of been hodgepodge, that, you know, at Tennessee, at Vanderbilt, against Georgia, had three straight losses, or is it the team that drilled Kentucky by double digits from start to finish back on March the 3rd? It kind of depends on that. I mean, Florida, I think, has got top 15 caliber talent if they're ready to go, but we just haven't seen it consistent enough. If you're getting six, definitely I would lean on St. Bonaventure. My number on the game is 5.5.
Okay, so these lines are so tight in the NCAA tournament. I'll ask you about the one CIT game tonight going down. How closely are they watching Austin Peay minus 4.5 against UL Monroe? I think I'm actually going to play Austin Peay, mostly because UL Monroe in neutral and road games has been so horrible this year, and these things are all played, you know, this is going to be played in Clarksville, Tennessee. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree with that. And
all right.
Yeah, that's the games to attack, no question about it. We've seen home teams be quite profitable. I mean, look at the NIT, all the home teams have advanced so far in the first round. I think went 16-0 straight up, so you got a relatively close line there. Austin Peay more comfortable. No question about it. If you're going to attack a number, the softest number on the board today would have been Austin Peay minus the points. Looks like they're getting a little bit of action. You could have gotten 3.5, but yeah, I agree with you on that one.
All right, that's Brad Powers. He's lead college football analyst at pregame.com, but boy, he does pretty well with the.
Brad, what's your favorite line tomorrow?
Favorite line tomorrow, you know, I got in ahead of it. It's Texas going to close favorite. Had the Longhorns plus one. I think Nevada's done closing up shop. Bad matchup for Nevada. Not playing without a point guard against that Texas press. As long as Mo Bamba is healthy, I think that's a bad matchup. Texas wins. Got plus one. They're going to close favorite. I get ahead of that line. If you can get a pick them now, it's going to close one or two.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah, I am too. All right, Brad. Appreciate it, man. And enjoy the tournament and make some money, brother.
All right. Right back at you guys. Enjoy yourself.
All right. We are going to take a quick break, but first, maybe if it's not working out for you as a lead college football analyst at pregame.com and you need another job,
right?
Where would you go?
My computer career. Yeah, that's what happened to Cody. Cody was working at a big box store selling boom boxes. That was last August. It's March now. A month ago in February, started his new IT career. How's that hit you? Making more money, working less hours. If you hate what you do, don't get boxed in. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take a free career evaluation today. You can start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. If you don't have computer experience or training, no problem. Transitioning people into an IT career is what they do. You attend classes on campus or live online 2 or 3 times a week. You'll get everything you need to start your new career. And it's more than just a school. My Computer Career helps you get into the industry because they work with hundreds of employers that hire their students. They're nationally accredited. Financial aid is available for those who qualify, including the GI Bill for my fellow vets. Classes start up soon, guys. Go take that free career evaluation now. MyComputerCareer.edu. It's not rocket science. It's My Computer Career. MyComputerCareer.edu.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Presented by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
We are back.
Okay, we're back. I was just having a conversation with a listener.
With your best friend.
Yeah, he's Canadian. That happens. All right, I got to tell you about Sports Map, by the way.
Get on the map.
You're not on the map. You're a failure at life. That's all it is. This is basically the best Jordy Nelson 2-year $15 million deal with Raiders.
Yeah, Raiders cut Michael Crabtree, add Jordy Nelson. Jordy Nelson's what I think of when I think of the Raiders. The filthy, dirty Raiders with guys like Jordy Nelson.
Yeah, this strikes me as we got rid of an aging, mediocre guy and got a white, aging, mediocre
right.
guy.
Right. Oh, well.
But anyway, it happened. So there you go. All right, guys, get on Sports Map. Check it out. Sports Map's awesome. That's pretty much it. That's all I have to say about it. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the gem of the day, the Zadok Jeweler gem of the day.
All right, AJ, I've always kind of wanted to be a criminal mastermind.
Okay.
Or a master thief. I mean, those are kind of cool things, right? If you're one of those, you're kind of cool.
Okay.
You don't sound convinced.
I mean, it's you're still a criminal.
Yeah, but I mean, criminal mastermind?
Crime doesn't pay.
Well, if you're a mastermind, it does.
Are you talking about, like, the Joker?
No, I'm just talking about, in general, if someone described you as a criminal mastermind, that's pretty cool.
I mean, I guess that would be
master
complimentary.
Master criminal?
That's complimentary.
Yeah, that means you're good at your job.
Right.
All right, well, if I were a criminal mastermind, here's what I would not do. Nearly a dozen men have been arrested in a cargo theft trafficking ring that used stolen tractor trailers to move more than $1 million in goods meant for retailers across the country to a New Jersey warehouse. So
okay.
Basically, these Jersey guys jacked $1 million worth of goods. And they got caught. You care to ask what they jacked?
What you tell me, Fred. What did they jack?
$104,000 worth of meat.
That's an odd choice.
Yeah. $104,000 worth of meat.
Okay. Does it say what, beef?
I'm assuming it's beef.
Okay. Prime briskets?
Doesn't say exactly what it was.
Okay.
But ultimately, 16 loads of stolen cargo were recovered from 10 national retailers. They seized cargo ranging from clothing and granite to home goods, landscaping equipment, and food products. But the main thing was the food products, $104,000 worth of meat.
I think that answers the age-old question. Where's the beef?
The government has it.
That's good, though, right?
That wasn't bad.
All right.
All right, so that's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
I guess if you're a criminal and you want to meet your match, that's the way to do it. Okay. Thank you.
Oh,
thank you.
Boy.
I'm here for another hour.
Oh,
boy.
Brutal, huh?
That was rough.
Hey, Jermaine showed up. This must be a real party.
That is.
Yeah. So what are we going to do with Shea here?
I don't know. Like, so
he has that look on his face. Like,
oh, he's pissed off at you because you're calling him out on the air. He doesn't like that. He doesn't like that you called him out on air.
Well, he sucked. It's not my fault.
So what had happened was I pointed to my headset. So this is a learning moment for you. I'm laying down some knowledge for you here, Shay. If I point to my ear and give an up sign or a down sign, that means I want more volume in my headphones. That doesn't mean turn Fred's mic off.
Especially during a live read.
Right.
A paid live read.
If I point here and I point up or down to my microphone, I say up or down, that means I want my volume either raised or lowered. You thumbs up? You're following? Okay. Yeah, he's pissed off at you.
And I don't care, but that's all right.
He looks like he wants to stab you. You're mad at yourself?
Okay, you can actually turn your mic on and have a conversation with us on air.
Be careful. If he tries to turn his mic on, he'll probably turn ours off.
Yeah, don't turn our mics off, but you can turn yours up and actually have a conversation with us on air. It's okay.
This was a big opportunity for you, wasn't it? And do you feel like you've made the most of it?
No. I mean, this is only my second time doing it.
All right, but turn your mic up.
Turn your mic up a little bit louder. Put the microphone closer to your face hole.
This is only my second.
Still can't hear you.
Yeah.
I don't think this mic works.
No, the mic works. It was working fine. If you turned it up more, it would have been great.
Can you hear me?
No.
A little more. Keep going. Now try it.
Can you hear me?
No. Try this button. Try this bottom button.
Can you hear me?
No, we can't hear you. Never mind.
Give up.
That I'm not going to put on him. Okay. I did give him one task, and he succeeded at that.
Did he have to get you a beer?
No, it wasn't that. It was something more simple, but... Simple but complex. Yes.
Than getting you a beer.
Yeah, but he figured it out, so ooh. I'm gonna give him an A for that. He's still at F minus for everything else. So hopefully, you know, you got another hour left. Maybe you can rally. Yeah, he's looking at me like I hate this mother.
Yeah,
yeah. It's not my fault. I mean, I'm not the one screwing up, right? Like, if I screw up, I'll be the first one to give myself a D. I'll say, you know what, I blew that segment.
This is like Brett Wallace getting called up to the Astros and promptly going 1-for-22. I mean, that's
okay. All right, honest question, and let's pretend like he's not here. Worst debut performance, Shea or Jose?
Oh boy. I'm gonna go with Shea.
I'm gonna take the other side of this.
Let me explain why.
Shea's just been not great. Jose was epically bad.
Here's the difference. Jose,
not great, huh?
Producing a show is much more difficult than running the on-site engineering. I mean, there's only a couple buttons here. There's not a lot to it. When you're producing the show, you got a lot to do. You got to admit, that's a much more difficult task.
It is, but you know what I think it is? Both of them came in too arrogant.
You think so?
Yeah.
Confidence was too high.
Oh, yeah, I got this.
Shea's probably been working over there on the national side and thought that he was.
Yeah.
He thought he was hot noise.
And he did Barry and Joel for 3 hours, almost 3 hours. The last 15 minutes, not so much. But yeah, he did Barry and Joel.
He took a break.
I got this. I got this. No. Failure. All right. Well, at least you can tell him where to get his energy.
I can. I don't know that has anything to do with what's happening, but there are a lot of energy providers out there. And there's always different offers that they'll throw out at you. And some of them sound great. Free weekends, free days, $600 bonuses. The list goes on. And you may have fallen for one of those offers because months later you find out you're paying a way higher rate or there's more fees on your bill. What's going on with this? This isn't what I signed up for. That's what I love about Tri-Eagle Energy. Tri-Eagle keeps it simple. The rate you see is the rate you'll pay. No gimmicks, no minimum usage fees. No charges if you go over a certain amount of energy. It's just good, pure, honest business the way it should be. Give them a call, 877-93-EAGLE, or log on to TryEagleEnergy.com. Use promo code ESPN for an additional discount. That's 877-93-EAGLE or TryEagleEnergy.com. PUCT license number 10064.
The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.